If you'd open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we'll be reading and looking at chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. I'm sure a familiar event to many of you, the test of Abraham's faith in God requiring him to sacrifice his son Isaac. As I was thinking about this this morning, preaching on this well-known event in Genesis, this evening preaching on David and Goliath from 1 Samuel. What a day to be able to preach on these two great events that show us God's power in and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to this, we have to understand that this is part of a series for those of you who are visiting with us in the life of Abraham. And Abraham, as we'll see, has just made this treaty, has been spending time and living in the land of the Philistines many days. And now God is going to come to him and try his faith in a way that it has never been tried before. So let us now direct our hearts and our minds to the Word of God. Let us come to him in prayer and seek his blessing upon the reading and the preaching of it. Let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, this is your Word to us. You have made yourself known in general revelation in creation, but specifically in your special revelation, your Word, which tells us of the salvation that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray now that our hearts would be warmed by your Word, that your Spirit would work in us, that we would have an understanding and a love for your Word, a love for you. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So beginning then our reading in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, hear now the Word of God. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. What is true faith? Now, you who have studied the catechism, whether it's been years ago or even a few months, might remember this is question and answer 21 of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is true faith? And the answer is that true faith is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth everything that God has revealed in His Word, but also a hearty trust. See, there are these three components, aren't there? A knowledge, knowing what God said, understanding that what God said is true, but then there's that third piece, that crucial piece, that hearty trust. And what we see in this passage today is a hearty trust, a true faith in response to this test. Abraham is asked to do the unthinkable, to sacrifice his own son. And yet, he demonstrates a hearty trust in God's unchanging promises. And we see that here vividly demonstrated by him before us. But we also see something just as important. We see a beautiful picture of the love of God the Father and the obedience then of God the Son in Abraham and in Isaac. We have to understand the Old Testament is full of types or shadows that foreshadow what will come to pass in the New Testament. And here we see that in full display. And I hope that as we go through this, you'll see the beauty of God's gospel being proclaimed here through this account. The illustration of the Father's love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for the sins of His people. Now, as we last left Abraham, he was then dwelling in Beersheba. He was dwelling in the land of the Philistines. And in verse 34 of chapter 21, we're told that he did so for many days. Remember, prior to this, he had made a treaty with Abimelech. He had cast his son Ishmael out of his home. And now he has dwelt for many days. But we come here in verse 1 of chapter 22, and in this series to read of the last recorded words that God gives to Abraham. And there's a parallel to these words and the words given to him, the first words in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. There he told Abraham to go to a place I will show you. Leave your family. Here he tells Abraham, go to a place I will show you, walk in obedience to me, and you're going to have to leave your son there because you're going to sacrifice him, offer him up to me. Now at this point, Isaac, I think, is probably a teenager. We're told that he's dwelt in the land of the Philistines for many days. Isaac was 3 when Ishmael was cast out. When we meet Sarah again in chapter 23, we'll find out that she's 127 years old. She was 99 when Isaac was born, 102 when he was 3. So chances are at least 10 years have passed, probably 15. Isaac is somewhere between 13 and 18 years old. He would have to be an older boy, as we'll see, to carry that wood. But Abraham is facing a challenge unlike he's ever faced. Yes, twice his wife has been then taken from him. His nephew Lot has been taken from him. He's had to cast out his son Ishmael. But here he's told not simply to cast his son out, but to sacrifice him unto God. And so as we look at this, we see this testing of Abraham reveals Abraham's faith, but also God's faithfulness. This testing of Abraham reveals Abraham's faith, but also God's faithfulness. We'll look at three things regarding this test of true faith. That it's a test of true faith given by God, it's a test of true faith performed unto God, and a test of true faith that ultimately is blessed by God. And we see in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 22, this test of true faith given by God. It came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And listen to what God tells him to do in verse 2. Take now your son. Take now your son. Now he says, your only son. How is it his only son? Well, here God is saying the only son you have left because you've disinherited Ishmael. He's out of your home. You only have one son left. Isaac. Take your only son, Isaac. Isaac is the name that means laughter or joy. So here, take your only son, the only one you have left, the one who is your joy. The one who is that blessed son. The one who makes you laugh every day when you think about the blessing God has given you. And he adds, then, whom you love. Isaac was the son of his old age. This is the son of Sarah, his wife. This is showing what this is going to cost Abraham. This test of faith. You see, God hits Abraham right where it's going to hurt, doesn't he? Your son, your only son, Isaac, the one whom you love. And the test is, I'm going to ask you to do something. Who do you love more? Where's your obedience going to be? You see, the purpose of every trial that God gives, he never tempts us to sin, but he gives trials, he tests his people, and the purpose is always to reveal our heart. What's really in us? How are we going to respond? As Deuteronomy in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, God tested his people. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you in all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. To know what is in your heart. And that's what God wants to know here. What is in your heart, Abraham? And that's what God is going to do to all of his children. What's in your heart? Now, he's not going to ask us in his providence, and thankful to him for this, to do this kind. This was a specific test of faith. But God is going to ask you to put things aside for him. To make choices that you don't want to make. And the question is, maybe even now, what is it that God may be demanding you give up, but that you refuse to let go of? That you refuse to do? That's the challenge, isn't it? He tells him to take his son, and he tells him to go, to travel to Moriah. This is important that this is included, to the land of Moriah. And at the end of verse 2, on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so beautiful is this picture already. We see God pointing forward not only to the sacrifices that were to be offered under the reign of Solomon in the temple, but ultimately to that sacrifice that will be offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in 2 Chronicles and chapter 3, verse 1. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. This is the temple on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. It was here that David offered a sacrifice, stopped the plague that was coming, and then said, "This is the place where I'm going to have the temple to the Lord built." And it was here in Jerusalem and just outside Jerusalem that on that hill, the Lord Jesus Christ, that true sacrifice, would go to his death for the sins of his people. And yet here, all the way back in Genesis chapter 22, we see this already in God's mind. This is Calvary, where Abraham is taking Isaac to sacrifice him. And he says, "Take him there and offer him as a burnt offering." Now we have to understand what this would mean. Not to get too graphic, but we have to understand what Abraham was facing. When an animal was taken for a burnt offering, that animal's throat would be slit. And then that animal would be cut into parts and arranged upon the altar and completely consumed by fire. Burnt wholly to the Lord. This is what Abraham is being asked to do, not to an animal, but to his son, his only son, the one whom he loves. That's what he's being asked to do. And this would have torn him, I'm sure. We don't know what was in his mind, but here he's torn. He loves Isaac. He loves God. He wants to obey God. And God tells him not only is Isaac going to die, but he's going to die a violent death. And not only are you going to see it, but you're going to do it. You who are his father are going to become his executioner. That's what Abraham's told here. And this is the first time in Scripture that we see that in the end, God will require a human sacrifice for sins. See, God's plan for his chosen seed is to be a sacrificed servant. So Abraham has a dilemma here, doesn't he? His dilemma is simply, if I don't slay Isaac, whom I love, I'm disobeying God. But if I do slay Isaac, whom I love, then I am killing every promise. Not only my son, but I'm killing every promise God has made to me. Because every promise that God has made to Abraham has come through Isaac. It is through Isaac that all the blessings will come. So this is the dilemma that he faces, isn't it? It's a trial that God gives him to test his faith and to cause growth. And don't be surprised when God puts you in situations where you think, how in the world am I going to make this decision? How am I going to deal with this? It's really a lose-lose situation. Because I can tell you, the life of a believer is a series of tests. Because God wants to reveal what's in your heart. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, in everything, no matter what, God will always make a way of escape, won't he? It's not our job to figure out what that is. It's our job to walk in obedience to God and trust him that he'll work it out. You see, by disobeying God, we think we can work it out ourselves. But when we walk in obedience to God, we say, I trust God. I can't see it now. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I know that you will work it out because you're true and you're faithful. So he's given this test of true faith by God. And he performs it unto God. We see in verses 3 through 10. We see he prepares in faith, doesn't he? Verse 3, he does it early in the morning. He doesn't wait. He obeys immediately. He saddles his donkey. He took two of his young men with him, probably to help with the supplies, and Isaac, his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now here we see a first glimpse of a father preparing to sacrifice his son. And what a glorious picture that is of God the Father, isn't it? God the Father, we're told in Acts 2:23 in that great sermon that it was because of his determined counsel that Christ would go to the cross. He planned it from all eternity. That Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. And here we see Abraham preparing for this. And he travels then in faith. Verse 4. They've traveled for 3 days. Now, 3 days in Scripture is often a time of preparation. When the children of Israel were going to go worship, they said to Pharaoh, "Let us travel 3 days to worship our God." When God is going to meet with them in Exodus 19 and verse 11, he comes on the third day. And I think most significant, when a Passover lamb, that lamb that was to be sacrificed, was prepared, it was set aside 4 days, therefore giving 3 days before it was finally sacrificed. So here they travel these 3 days, but think about for a moment Abraham. You see, God did not tell him, do this, kill your son, and do it immediately, get it over with, it's done. This is God, has to be an agonizing 3 days of travel. Can you imagine the conversations with his son? In fact, maybe he wanted to distance himself, knowing what was going to happen from his son. We don't know, but it had to be heart-wrenching. I don't think he probably informed Sarah of what he was doing. But maybe he was thinking, what am I going to tell Sarah when I go back? Your only son, and I'm his murderer. What am I going to tell her? But then we see that he, in verse 5, tells his young man to stay there with the donkey. And notice he doesn't refer to him as his son, but the translation here is lad, or literally young man. I think here we see Abraham is starting to distance himself already. He doesn't say, me and my son will go up the mountain, but me and this young man will go up the mountain. You stay here. Now, I think maybe it was going to be too difficult for the donkey to go up, but certainly Abraham left these men there because he probably did not want them to interfere. Maybe they'll think, what is this old... Abraham may be, 118 at this point. What is this old senile man doing? We've got to stop him. He can't do this. But Abraham would let nothing stop him from doing God's will. So he leaves them there, and we have this ascent of faith, ascending up the mountain. But notice what he tells them. He says, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, which is true. But here he says, and we will come back to you. We'll come back to you. Now, what is Abraham saying here? There's a couple possibilities. Either he's lying to them, knowing full well that Isaac is not going to come back from this. Or he doesn't plan to sacrifice Isaac. He's going to be disobedient to God and so bring Isaac back. But no, Abraham is a man of faith. He's not lying to them. He's not planning to be disobedient. But here we see Abraham's faith already expressing itself. We will come back to you. And we'll see why he understood that to be the case in a moment. But then verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. Now he would have probably taken this off of the animal. And he would have taken it and he would have placed it on Isaac. Isaac's back. Isaac would have been carrying this. Isaac was a young man, a teenager. He would have had the strength to do this. Abraham, as an old man, would not. They have to ascend this mountain and he places the wood upon Isaac's back. What a beautiful picture, isn't it? Of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, going to his death upon that mountain, carried a cross of wood. Carried the own instrument of his death, and now here Isaac is made to do the same. But notice also, we're told that Abraham had the fire in his hand and a knife. This shows us that while Isaac was carrying the wood to his own death, it was Abraham who was going to bring the fire upon him. Scripture is clear. God is a consuming fire. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When man sinned, God put a flaming sword to guard the way back to the Garden of Eden. God is coming then to judge, and either the judgment for man is going to be found in Christ, or the judgment for man is going to be found in the lake of fire in that day. So here we have a son going to become a sacrifice, carrying that implement on his back. We have a father who plans to as it were, pour out this punishment upon him. And then this statement from Isaac in verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." Not just that. Remember, Abraham has called him the lad, the young man. But Isaac's not going to let that continue. He says, "My father." And Abraham has to be reminded, "This is my son, my one son, the one whom I love." And he responds to him, "Here I am, my son." And Isaac asks this question. See, Isaac knows what is required for a sacrifice. He was well versed in the will of God. He says, "Father, I see the fire, which you're carrying. I see the wood, which is on my back. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" I think Isaac asks this in innocence. Here he asks him, "Where is it? I know we need it." You know, as I thought about that, that's really the question that all of us need to ask, isn't it? Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Because you see, when we come into God's presence, we can't come in empty-handed. Coming into God's worship, we come with an offering. Now, God's people come with that great offering, don't we? That lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. We boldly come before the throne of grace, only because we come through him. Here Isaac says, we can't come into God's presence without a sacrifice. And here, the whole story really hinges on this response from Abraham, this response of faith. "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." God will provide for himself. You see, what we are told here, not only will God provide, we don't only see Abraham's faith, but we see that it is only God who can provide. No human can provide a sacrifice that would be pleasing to God. Only God can satisfy himself. Only God can provide his own sacrifice. But notice, Abraham says this is a sacrifice for himself. We have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for the sins of his people, yes. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to satisfy the just demands of his Father. And until he satisfied the just demands of his Father, he could not then satisfy the penalty against God's people for their sin. Now, what does Isaac do? Well, we're told twice here, both at the end of verse 6 and then at the end of verse 8, "So the two of them went together." Isaac trusts his father. God will provide. And the two of them go together, walking together. This is a perfect illustration, again, of the Father and the Son. God the Father and God the Son working in unison to bring about salvation. Isaiah in chapter 53, and I'd recommend if you haven't to read this through today, but just a few verses from there. Verse 4, speaking of Christ, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted." And verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin." You see, this was God the Father's doing, just as it was Abraham's doing as they went up. But it's not as if Jesus was an unwilling sacrifice, nor was Isaac. Again, in Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It's amazing to see Isaac here asks, and then he's satisfied, and he does not open his mouth, does he? And then the culmination of this in verse 9 and 10 is this great act of faith, both on the part of Isaac and on the part of Abraham. We often don't hear about Isaac and what was going on and his part to play in this. But he did have a part to play. Now, I want you to think about this. They're going up this mountain. They're continuing together. They've spoken about this. Abraham says God will provide. But Abraham must have been, I think, dragging a little bit. He knows what's coming. He's not wanting to rush up this mountain. And Isaac probably sensed something's not right with Dad. And yet, step by step, he gets up the mountain. And he understands, this is it. We've reached the place. So they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And we're not told, but I think that Abraham here says, Isaac, you are the lamb that God has provided. Isaac, you are the lamb. You're the one. And we're told that he binds Isaac. Now, could Isaac have overpowered Abraham? Absolutely. But he did not. You see, Isaac's faith, he allowed himself to be bound, completely trusting in his father, completely trusting in God. So did Christ. Christ would have called legions of angels. He was taunted, come down off that cross, save yourself, and yet he didn't. No, he willingly went to the cross, not opening his mouth. And Isaac's faith, his humility, his willingness to go shows that he's a picture of that perfect sacrifice. That lamb, as Peter says, that is without blemish, without spot, foreordained from before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20. That's Isaac, the son's role. But then we see Abraham binds him, and he lays him upon the wood that previously Abraham had laid upon Isaac. Now he lays Isaac upon that wood, probably bound hand and foot, not because he would have resisted, but just to keep him still. And now here, we see this act of Abraham in verse 10. You've got to understand, though, what Abraham is doing here. It's horrendous enough that he's about to kill his son. But what Abraham is doing here is far greater, far more devastating to him. In fact, Abraham here is signing his own eternal death warrant. Because eternal life was promised through Isaac. If Isaac dies, Abraham eternally dies. And not only is he signing that eternal death warrant, it'll be the death of Abraham. It'll be the death of God's promises to Abraham, which come through Isaac. It'll be the death of the church. It'll be the death of God's plan of salvation for all of his people. That's what is going on here. So why? Why is he going to do this? I mean, you can imagine the heartache here. As he bound him and laid him there, you can picture this conversation. We're not told, but I love you, son. Tears, kissing him, maybe even giving a kiss for Sarah. Maybe Isaac saying, tell mom this. That's what's going on here. But why does he do this? Again, he had that dilemma, right? If I don't do it, I'm disobeying God, but if I do do it, all of God's promises are going to fail. Well, the New Testament tells us, gives us an insight into why he was doing this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. The New Testament is a wonderful commentary on the Old Testament, isn't it? And we see that in Hebrews in chapter 11. Listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So again, this offering is not only a death of Isaac, but it's a death of all the promises of God. And here's what we're told in verse 19. Abraham, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. We get a glimpse of Abraham's mind here. He said, yes, I'm going to obey God, but the reason I could say to those young men that I'm coming back with Isaac is because God's going to raise him from the dead and he's going to come walk down this mountain with me. Because that's the only way that he could see in his mind that God's going to both cause his promises to be fulfilled and also demand this obedience from him. And so Abraham's comforted by the hope of God's promises and his truth. Comforted to the point that he says, you know, even death will not stop God's promises. God, who was able to bring Isaac from a dead womb of Sarah, will be able to bring him from a dead tomb and raise him again. That's the faith that Abraham has here. And so we come to this point, don't we? Abraham stretched out his hand. The idea is he reached out his hand to lay hold of the knife. Now Abraham has made up his mind. He's committed his heart to this. He stretches out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Think about this moment. If this were a TV program, this is where the commercial would be. What's going to happen? Find out next week. And yet here we see God, knowing the heart of all men, knows that Abraham has absolutely committed to this. Abraham has sacrificed Isaac already in his heart. The only thing that is going to stop Abraham from doing this, from slitting the throat of his son, cutting him up, and burning him up, the only thing that is going to stop Abraham from being obedient to God's command is another command from God. And God gives him that command. He calls out, verse 11, from heaven and says, not once but twice, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Now the angel of the Lord, before we heard God, Elohim, here the angel of the Lord, the covenant name of God. We see here God in his covenant faithfulness comes and says, I'm not going to allow my covenant to fail. I'm not going to allow you to kill Isaac. Now many of you may have seen artwork, which I don't suggest that we make images of God in any way, or angels. You may have seen this artwork of the sacrificing of Isaac, where Abraham has the knife raised up, an angel's grabbing his hand, and Isaac's there. Well, that's not what happened here. No physical manifestation came down and physically grabbed his hand. It was the power of God's word that spoke from heaven. Simply saying this made it happen. Abraham listened to God's voice. And we see because of that, this true faith then in verses 11 through 19 is blessed by God. It's blessed in the sparing of Isaac. Verse 12, he says, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. Don't touch a hair on his head. Again, without the will of God, not a hair can fall from our head, right? God says, don't do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. Why? Because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then here's this beautiful thing. The salvation of Isaac requires a substitution for Isaac. And we see that substitution clearly made, don't we? Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there was behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt sacrificing, for a burnt offering instead of his son, in place of his son. You see, Abraham had brought Isaac as a sacrifice, and yet here God provides the sacrifice. And so Abraham is able to say, God fulfilled his word to me. God will provide. God has provided. And so this mount will be known then in verse 14 as the Lord will provide. Literally, the Hebrew here is the verb to see. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will see it done. And the Lord has seen it done. Abraham lifts his eyes and looks. Behold, there's a ram caught in the thicket. What did John the Baptist say? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so here we see beautifully that gospel that Paul speaks of being preached to Abraham in Galatians 3:18 being preached here in the substitution of this ram for Isaac. And as we've been told in Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, Abraham received Isaac as if resurrected from the dead, figuratively. Here we see not only the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ prefigured, we see the resurrection prefigured in Isaac, who was as good as dead, coming back, as it were, from the grave. And so it's fitting, isn't it, that the temple was built here. And it's oh so fitting that our Lord Jesus Christ on that hill outside of Jerusalem was crucified as the Lamb of God given for the sins of his people. And so that's why all of these blessings can come. See, the blessings are not only to Isaac, but to all the faithful. All those who will have faith like believing Abraham. The angel of the Lord a second time calls out to him and he says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. By myself, by my name, a name by which no greater name can be called upon. I swear. This is the first time and really the only time God takes an oath. And it's this oath to Abraham that is referenced over and over again in Scripture. He swears by himself and he declares that the Lord will do it. Why? Because Abraham has been obedient. He says, because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son. Paul speaks of this, Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not give us all things? And what are the all things that God gives us in Christ? The same things he promises here to Abraham. Blessing, I will bless you. The Hebrew uses two words here. To bless, I will bless. The meaning is I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. We've heard that before. But the first time here, the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. You will have victory over your enemies, and Israel will have victory over their enemies physically. We'll see that tonight as we look at David and Goliath. But here, God is saying, you're going to have victory over the great enemy, death, the devil. The seed here, in which all the nations will be blessed in verse 18, is ultimately speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The head of his church against which the gates of hell will not prevail. And there's a change here in verse 18. In the past, God has said, in you, all the nations will be blessed. But here he changes it, in your seed. You see, the focus is going off of Abraham. Abraham is going to die soon. The focus is going to be placed on Isaac and then on Jacob and then down the lines ultimately to come in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, verse 18, why? Because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham had faith and his works demonstrated that. That's what James picks up on, even using this. Your works do not merit you anything, but because you have faith, you will have works. And Abraham here demonstrates that. True disciples of Christ will obey his commands, will seek to do so. And we have two things here. As Abraham is called on and is willing to sacrifice his only son, the son of joy, of laughter, Isaac, the one whom he loves. And Isaac, that willing sacrifice, goes to the slaughter. We see a picture of a man of true faith, don't we? Who had not only a knowledge of what God required, but had a hearty trust that God, even if necessary, would raise Isaac from the dead. But we have a great and glorious picture here as we think of our Heavenly Father, God the Father, and God the Son, who from all eternity planned this out. You see, God the Father planned from all eternity to send His Son, His only begotten Son. And God the Son was willing from all eternity to be that sacrifice, to be the one upon whom all of the wrath of God for the sins of His people would be outpoured. And what a glorious picture that is. Because we know this truth. If God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how much more will He give us all things in Christ? Isn't that a beautiful picture? But like Abraham, we must be willing to have that faith, to have that trust, to look to Him for all that we need, and to walk in obedience, to endure to the end, so that we might hear, as Abraham did, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we praise You, and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that in this we see the faith of Abraham on display, that true faith, and the faith of Isaac in willing to trust in his father, to trust in You. And God, we thank You for this great and glorious gospel presentation that we have, that God, You, as our Heavenly Father from all eternity, have planned to send the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, that You willingly came, laying down Your life for Your people. Thank You, God, that You have blessed us with so many things. And God, help us to dig deeper into Your Word, to understand what it means to be those who are with Abraham, blessed because of the work of Christ. And now we pray it in His name. Amen.